Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you this, we are in a fight for our life. I know you don't believe it because you're in your own little world. And when I say little, I mean little. You are in your own little bitty world. And this is why we're all messed up. Let me tell you this, the fight against fascism is a fight for basic human needs for all, for democracy, for the control of government, and for the future of humanity and the planet. By taking the offense against defeating fascism, the working class on Passover to the offensive against capitalism and private property. When is the seabed, which is the seabed of fascism? Fascism is when government and the corporations come together against the people. Fascism is here today. We are in a war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. We have not learned to stand up for each other. We have not learned to make things happen for each other. Fascism is here. It's here right now. Corporations rule. Perfect example. Here in the city of Benton Harbor, a small community is controlled by Whirlpool Corporation. Now, Whirlpool has a monopoly on washer dryers, stove, and refrigerators. 70% of all washer dryers, stove, and refrigerators are made by Whirlpool. The law says you cannot, a monopoly, you cannot have 50.1% of anything as a corporation. But they waive the rules because people are so busy trying to survive. See, the prices are going up for one reason, because they can do it. That's the reason the prices are going up today. They're not going up because of the pandemic. That's the biggest lie I ever heard. They're not going up because of the war in Russia. That's a lie. But black people, and also the other people, poor people, the red, white, blue, yellow, whatever it is, they just don't get it. They listen to these people. And it just shows how dumb is rising. Food that is produced here in America is rising because of the war in Russia. I have never heard nothing that stupid. Gas prices is rising here in the United States because of the war in Russia. That's a lie. The billionaires are getting richer and richer and richer. How much money do you need? How much money do you need? We got people starving, and nobody seems to care. You know. But here's something. The Supreme Court says that a woman can no longer do whatever she wants with her body. That's right. You can no longer do whatever you want with your body. Can't do it no more. Let's be honest. There is really no constitution in this country. It's whatever the people in power wants to do. This is what you call, this was happened in Nazi Germany. Same stuff. Same stuff. They play by their own rules, and they don't care who they hurt. And then we got people actually want to be just like them, black folks. Unbelievable. Fascism is here. And they're going to drain every single penny you have out of you. And there's not a whole lot you can do but go to war against them. We're at war, but the problem is we're not fighting the war. That's the problem. We're at war right now. They're killing us. They're poisoning us. They're doing everything you could think of to us, and we're silent about it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Who's going to believe this? See, if you are silent about your pain, they will kill you and say you enjoyed it. That's right. This is how they operate. But we're so naive. They got us fighting with each other. They have their own sellouts. They have their own Sambos. And they're working it to a T. That's right. They are working it to a T. They are doing what they supposed to do. When you empower, you enslave the majority. And they will crawl to you. When you are in power, all you have to do is enslave the majority, the poor. You know, think about this. You're on a fixed income. Let's say $800 a month. Let's say your rent is $500. Now you got $300 to feed yourself, to pay your light, gas, water bill. You don't have enough money. So what are you going to do? Fascism is here, whether we like it or not. And it's designed to destroy you. And they will. They are going to destroy you one way or another. First of all, they're going to poison you, poison water. And there's not a whole lot of you can do about it. But here's the thing about that. Now, I don't even know how many lives I have saved by blowing the whistle on the governor and the mayor here. I don't know how many lives. They'll never tell you because you were not supposed to know that the water was contaminated, poisonous. You were not supposed to know that. You see, especially black people. They always say black people don't know nothing, no way. You see, they only know what white folks tell them. That's it. They don't know nothing else. And that's the hard part to me. How do you around here and want to be just like these devils? How? It's not even possible. Why would you want to be? You see how evil and wicked they are, but yet you try to be just like, you would destroy your own family to please these devils. That don't make any sense. It don't make sense. That don't make any sense. make it make sense to me. Can you, somebody got to make it make sense to me. Why would you want to do something like that? And let me say this. See, I don't celebrate Juneteenth. You know, and it's unfortunate, you know. But the truth of the matter is, 400 years, over 400 years, black folks is still not free. Obviously, that the America had defaulted on this promissory note. Over 400 years. Over. And they talking about Juneteenth. Yeah, don't be, you got to be sick. You know. And look, I'm not criticizing people who celebrate Juneteenth. I'm not. Because you can do whatever you want. But that's just another form of stupidity that they have placed on us. You know, we are still in slavery today. These devils got us surrounded. Let me give you an example. $33.2 million came through the city of Benton Harbor. Came through black folks' hands. And black folks turned it over to white folks. How ridiculous is that? Somebody help me. Maybe it's me. It's not you. Maybe it's me. $33.2 million came through here. And $33.2 million is going to leave this city. How dumb can we get? We got to be some of the stupidest people in the whole wide world. One lady said, well, it's because of slavery. Okay, I can buy that because we're still enslaved, you see. We still are. But this system, do we have any smart? Where are all the smart people? Where are all the smart black people? You see, one of the questions I used to ask on my radio show here in Benton Harbor was, where is all the smart black people? Do we have any smart black people? Any? Do we have any smart black people? Any? It appears to me that we're living for these devils and not for the future of our children. I would die first before I let $33.2 million leave my community. That doesn't make any sense at all. And that's why we have the Sambo of the Year Award. And three of the elected officials have been nominated for the Sambo of the Year. The mayor, Marcus Singer, it used to be Marcus Muhammad, but he lost the title Muhammad. He lost that by being dishonest. And then we have Judge Mayfield, the woman who gives away black babies. She's a Clarence Thomas of Michigan. That's right. Then we have Dan, the chief of police, which is the biggest joke that you ever haven't solved the case in years. Have never solved the case, let's put it that way. Have never. Then we have Ron Singleton, the spineless man, don't have a spinal cord. Pitiful, pitiful. He brought this hooligan preacher in from Fort Wayne, and he didn't know how to get rid of him. If you brought him in, you should be able to get rid of him, dummy. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to know that. And then we have the mother-son sample. My letter sees and Dwayne sees. Real professional sample. They've been sampling for a long, long time. But don't forget, voting begins July 1st. So make sure you get your vote and don't vote on June 30th. You vote on July 1st. Make sure you send it to BANCO9342@bcglobal.net. That's July 1st. July 1st, the sample election will kick off. Don't be shy because it's going down. Listen, I got to bring in my first guest, a beautiful young lady who been, I tell you, she been in the trenches fighting. And I want her to talk about, you know, all the things that we shouldn't do. We got to be looking forward to that because I think that is huge. A lot of times, as black folks, you know, we don't tell people what they should not do, you see. And when you don't tell black people what they should not do, most likely they're going to do it. So I'm going to hit this off by bringing in my good friend Annette. And I love what she be saying. It's get your pencil and get your paper and jot this stuff down, and I want you to spread it. I want you to tell at least 10 people about this. And if you could do that for me, I would really, really, really appreciate it. Tell at least 10 people and tell them to tell 10 people. See, that's how the mail used to be. We tell one another. You know, nowadays we're scared to tell each other anything. We're afraid to even open our mouths now. But at this time, let me bring in Annette. Annette, talk to me. Tell me what is really going on. Talk to me, Annette. Are you there? Annette, hey, there you are. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I thought somebody was holding you hostage. I was getting ready to send my children. Tell them I'm going to send them to Ethiopia so I can get the money to bring you in.
Well, I want you to know, I actually filed into the federal court. They say, are you incarcerated? And I put a line through that, and I put hostage. And the lady said, you are hostage? I said, yes. And she said, oh, well, you can go anywhere you want to go. I said, not if I don't have my money. So, therefore, I am a hostage. One of the things that I want to do, and again, like you said, not only are we talking about what not to do, we're going to tell you why you are not doing it. Because I think that when people understand why they do something or don't do something, they're more likely to do it. When we say go to the polls and vote, we need to vote with our money. We need to vote because we see we have more black politicians than we have in the whole history of the country, and we are worse off now than we were during slavery. We actually have more people incarcerated than we did in slavery. So now, again, we are going in the wrong direction. The reason why everybody is coming together and you have the certain days that you don't shop at different merchants, it is to show collectively, whether you're in Benton Harbor, whether you're in San Diego, California, whether you're in Jonesboro, Louisiana, if you're not going to McDonald's Mondays, on Mondays, don't go to none of the fast foods that are in your town, then all of these registers are going to be empty. And that's the goal. The goal is to get where they are going to be seen with the dollars, because we don't care who's in office. These other races of people, they don't care who's in office because they have their own community. They got their own businesses. They employ their own people. They are, again, together, organized, where we are not. This is an opportunity for us to be organized. Now, what you do, right at the top of your calendar where it's got the days of the week. And each top of that calendar, you are to write for Monday, McDonald Monday. No fast foods, none. If you even go to Starbucks and get your coffee, no, not on Monday. On Monday, call your city council person, whoever that is in your city, whatever's going on in your city, call that city councilman. Do star 67 before you call any of these people. Hang up and call back. This has nothing to do with you being afraid. What it has to do is you reporting anonymously. And then you are also having your voice heard. But trust me, you let that phone ring all day long, all day long. They're going to address whatever issue that you want to have addressed. Number two, on Tuesday, Ticket Tuesday, to all the people who are gamblers, lottos, scratchers, and please, no gambling, no lottos, no scratching, no scratching, no scratching on Ticket Tuesday. Tuesday, you call Star 67, your mayor, Benton Harbor. We want some clean water on Tuesday. Wednesday, we have Walmart Wednesday. This is a big, big day, everybody. Big, big, big. We are asking everybody, please go on your social media. Please call up your friends. Please call your family members to your church to put it in the church bulletin all the days. But Walmart Wednesday, whatever you do, do not go to Walmart on Wednesday. Do not go to no Mart stores, no convenience stores, no 7-Eleven, no Quick Mart, Jiffy Mart, no Kmart. None of the Mart stores, none, on Walmart Wednesday. Okay, Thursday. This is even bigger than Walmart Wednesday. Thursday about the gas prices, and you are so right. As the information that we have discovered, we are the ones who are getting richer and richer because we own these oil companies that have been stealing our money. So on Thursday, no gasoline on Thursday. Please, this is so important. Not only is it just high gas prices, but at the same time, what we have got to do, again, when they see that we're not coming in on that particular day, they will be coming to us on Friday. Oh, and on Thursday, you call your governor, Star 67, your governor, Star 67, your governor, whatever. And if you don't have any issues with your governor, you can always call Star 67-225-342-0991. That is Governor Edwards of Louisiana. And you can blow the whistle and ring the bell for the Davis family who have their company been stolen, and they are making ridiculous profits with the corporations and offshore companies that have $32 trillion. And please go to YouTube and pull this up, $32 trillion, with the Congress examined $32 trillion hidden Pandora Papers. Please. 53 minutes into the video, they are talking about the Davis family with the primary interest in a lumber company. They are talking about us. So they say that we evaded paying $200 million in taxes. I told them no. This has been stolen from us in taxes and profit and our company. So again, Star 67. 225-342-0991. Call that on Thursday. That's going to be on Thursday. Friday, Foreign Friday. Do not go to no foreigners. Don't go get your hair weaved. Don't go get your nails done. Don't go to no Chinese restaurant. Don't go to no foreigners, no Mexican food, no foreigners on Friday. It's black only, O-W-N, only. You only shop at black-owned stores on Friday. Call your congressmen and your senators in Washington, D.C., star 67, hang up and call back. Hang up and call back. Whatever your issue is, this mass incarceration, these gas prices, the reparations, whatever your issue is, make sure you call your congressman and your senator in Washington, D.C., star 67. That's for Friday. Saturday is Sabbath Saturday. After all that work you do in the week, you're going to need the rest. So on the Sabbath Saturday, please, it should be mandatory. God mandated it that we rest, that we rest. It's a commandment. And he said, if you break one, you broke them all. Then Sunday is Black Power Sunday. From 8 o'clock to 8:15 p.m., and we tried to pick a time that is going to be where people can be able to really participate. And please focus on this, because without you really realizing, this is how we actually are counted, because we are in grids. And so now when you got a whole block of a grid that has just powered down, it's going to be, wait a minute, what's going on? Again, it's Black Power. And that is what we want to do, is to be a collective in everything we do, whether we're voting with dollars, whether we're voting at the polls, whether we're going to city council and speaking up, or national rallies about clean water. We are collective. You're looking at the whole group. You're not looking at one or two people. And like you said, we have our own family members. We have our own family members who are lover of themselves. And I must say, when you get, and this is really happening with a lot of families, there were over 1,500 black farmers that got together down there where my great-grandfather was, along with Doris and their family. It was over 1,500 black farmers that had come together in their organization. So this inheritance go to all of their heirs, and we need everyone to come on. But when you come on and you come with your family, you are automatically a company, a business that operates with the right rules of order. You have to be professional. So this is where we need to come together as families, because you're going to be a major corporation, a global company. So, again, we need people to educate themselves. We need people to organize themselves, but vote with your dollars. Now, again, Governor Edwards, star 67, 225-342 0991. Once you show that you have contacted the governor of Louisiana, once you show this, we filed that whistleblower lawsuit. Whistleblower lawsuit get 30% of what the settlement of recovery. We're talking $32 trillion. The whistleblower lawsuit is anybody who want to come on and blow the whistle. And if you show that you have email, wrote, called, faxed, went on social media, it doesn't matter. If you can show proof, you automatically become to be a part of our blow the whistle lawsuit campaign. Now, that's separate from what the heirs are going to be getting. They are going to be getting their portion just because they're the bloodline. This right here, we're saying if you're putting your neck out, if you're putting your family out, if you're making the phone calls, if you're writing the letters, if you're sending the faxes, if you're going to the post offices, sending the certified. If you're doing all of that, you are the people who need to get paid. So anybody who come on my lawsuit that was filed in Nevada, case number, if you want to write it down, U.S. District Court, District of Nevada, Las Vegas. That case number 215 CV Civil 01839, and that's Annette Walker versus Social Security. And that means anybody with a Social Security card, you can be able to be a part of this whistleblower lawsuit, period. Period. So however many people come in, we're going to split it that many ways. So we want everybody, anybody, the more you do and produce, the more you get paid. Because we believe faith without works is dead. We believe the ones who are sitting back not doing nothing should not eat. We believe if you're doing the work, you need to get the pay. We believe that. So thank you so much for the opportunity. And again, Benton Harbor, the mayor's number, and we call the mayor on Tuesday, tomorrow. Everybody get ready. Get your whistles ready. Because we're getting ready to blow the whistle. Star 67, 269, 927, 8405. Again, star 67, 269, 927, 8405. Call the mayor. Demand you have some clean water. Demand it.
Amen.
Demand it. Hang up and call back. Hang up and call back. Until they leave. At 5 o'clock, whatever time they get off, we will be ringing your bell and blowing the whistle.
Amen. And that is beautiful. That is the number two. The way to go.
Yes, we
got to
get organized. It's all about being organized.
Yeah.
Please tell your church groups. Please tell your youth groups. Please tell your organizations. Where is the NAACP? I don't hear you. Where is the Urban League? I don't hear you. Where is, now again, please, the California Reparation Task Force. Become to be a part and engage with the California Reparation Task Force. Yes. Jump in.
Absolutely. That is beautiful. But, you know, it's so important that you can give out information. And see, to me, I don't mind giving information. And whatever they do with it, that's on them. I don't lose no sleep over these people no more. You know, I used to be concerned.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know,
that's why we open up the whistleblower
mm-hmm.
lawsuit. It's open up to people in Asia, China, Japan, along mm-hmm. with the Australia. Listen, we find that again the reason why the black move, Black Lives Matter with the George Floyd was so successful is because it was other people, not just black people. It was other.
Right.
So whenever you want to really get some things going, find some people who don't look like us and have them to come on board, and they will move things much quicker and faster than, like you say, your own relatives. I got a serious problem. I've been out here in California, and I cannot believe I'm showing direct descendant heirs, people who are entitled to this wealth. And they like, okay, what you want me to do? Nothing. I don't want you to do anything because I see right now that you're not the kind of person who should be handling this kind of wealth. I don't want you to do anything.
Yeah.
You need to go to some financial classes. Now, that's what you need to do, but you need to do that for you, not for me. I mean, because, you know, I want to learn all there is to know and more. So, again, this is a lot of the issue. And then we are having people who, like I said, who's receiving this, who this is, like Doris. She has been working and working, right, Doris? She's been working and working and working and working, and the whole family is just like, okay, well, you do the work, you know, you speak to the people, you do everything. That is not right. Each person, again, it is called the body of Christ, and everybody got a part to play. And so when you come in, no matter what your part is, it is very much needed for the entire body. And you bring your talents, whatever your talents, whatever your gifts, and be able to move the company forward. God put in every family everything we're going to be needing to run a corporation, to run a business. And it's a family business. Invite you, please write this down as well. Is Dr. Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Richardson, R-I-C-H-A-R-D-S-O-N. She is the queen of financial literacy, because this is what you, again, if we had financial literacy, we would not even be where we are today, because when you look and see all the wealthy black people who have been in prison because of taxes, that means that they just didn't even know how to. They knew how to make money. They didn't know how to spend money, how to save money and make money. That's so important. So a fool can make a dollar, but it takes a wise man to spend one. So, again,
you know.
And that was directly from the Davis family.
Amen. Let me ask you a question.
To come on.
Yes. Yeah. You talk about the deacons of defense.
Yes.
When you spoke about the deacons of defense, I know this white guy, Steve Miller. He was part of the deacons of defense. And he used to come and tell us stories about some of the things that was going on, how they fought and how they got together. I think there was a guy named, was it Williams? What was that guy named? The one that they chased out of there. And
used to call him, Thomas. That was Chili Willie. And his daughters were actually in my class. And I remember coming to school and them saying that, you know, they would no longer be in our class anymore. But my family, they were members of the Deacons for Defense. And Mr. Kirkpatrick was the coach at the high school. And he only lived two doors down from me. And I want you to know that is when our family, a lot of the families, they moved from Ansley after the whites were doing the murdering and the killing and stealing the land and they moved to Jonesboro. And they wanted to keep that kind of attack and just tracking and of course, what they're doing today. Nothing has changed.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. My forefathers and mothers,
and
they went through this.
I don't see how people don't see it, though. That's the problem that I have. I mean, why would anybody want to be like these devils? Why? I mean, I can't see a reason. But look, I got to move on. I got my special guest with his hands up. But look, I'm telling you, I love talking to you. And look, we're going to keep this thing moving. All right now.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right.
Okay,
now.
Thank you. Okay.
Amen. Amen. This is the one only Dr. Dr. Tans, talk to me.
Yeah, I think what you're doing is great. I remember that the Deacons of Defense, they were churchmen, real Christians, because in the church, they're supposed to be warriors that defend the church, protect the church. And what happened with these individuals, they're doing like in the time of David, in the time of Solomon, you always had protectors of the church. And what you have now is you have the men, which are the nurses of the church. They stay inside and they protect the pastor and try to find what the pastor likes, make sure the pastor don't get hungry, make sure the pastor don't get thirsty, make sure the pastor has a ride to go see his mistress. You know, that's the modern-day focus. But before, they protected the black family, they protected the black business, they protected the black land, and they went up against the Ku Klux Klan, White Citizen Council, and others. And we lost that. So what happened is that in the 70s, after the Civil Rights Movement, see, in 1968, when the Civil Rights Bill was put together, that was put together by white Southerners. And they took the white Southerners said that we're going to be damned if these niggas are going to benefit from this. And so what they did is said, back then it was Negro, colored, second-class citizen. So they said, we're going to call them minorities. And we're saying they're minorities because they're the smaller in number compared to us. And then what we're going to do, and since the agreement was to put some money there, we're going to make sure those niggers don't get the money. And how we're going to do that is that we're going to say our white women are minorities too. So because they're the minorities when it comes to business, they're not really there. They're just housewives. So they're going to be minorities along with these Negroes. And so the Civil Rights Bill wind up generating the definition of minorities, and the minorities were based on those individuals who were enslaved and lost land. Those individuals that were enslaved and lost land. Those individuals that were enslaved and lost land here in America. So in other words, you had to have been a slave here, either a Native American slave or a mainland Puerto Rican, or we call Mexico Chicano, because Mexico, Mexico, Missy, means mixed of Indian and African. That's what the Mexico was, the place of the African and the Indian mixing, just like Seminole is a combination of the Native people and the African mixing. Both of those words just mean mixed. And so what they did was those people who lost the land, the Native American, which included the Alaskan as well, and then the Mexican, which is, you know, that's why there's a border. Mexico is a part of the United States. You just have to walk across some, you know, some dirt. So them, and then it was the descendant of enslaved Africans, which we called Negroes, which we now call black, because black seemed to be universal, because all the historical languages always called us black in their language, in terms of moras for the Greek or more for the Latin, and so that name has Ethiop, which is the burnt or black skin, Kemet, which is the black people. So that name has always been relating to being called sun-kissed, kissed by the sun. So the sun has kissed us. So sun-kissed, so we were those people who were kissed by the sun. And that group of individuals make up your minority group. And then they added white women who have never been enslaved. They may have been enslaved to their husbands, but they've never been physically enslaved. And that the white woman's land wasn't taken because her land is, she gets ownership from that land from her white husband, from a white man. And so with that so important today, because all these groups who did not die, all these groups who did not get hit with water hoses, all these groups who did not get beat with billy clubs, all these groups that didn't get bit and chewed up by police dogs, all these groups that didn't get shot in the back, all these groups who didn't get just shot, period, all these groups who didn't get beat up by the police during the civil rights, human rights movement, they had no skin in the game. They didn't do a damn thing, and then they want to benefit being called minority and like that. And so they robbed us, they exploit us, they pimp us. No group other than what I said from you have any right to claim civil rights. Any group today, I don't care if what you got, an alphabet soup or a colored rainbow, or you a halfback, humpback, shortback, whatever. If you do not have the ability to take someone to a, through a cemetery and show where they were killed during the civil rights, human rights movement, then you are not entitled to what we've been through. And then the Native American will tell you that he cannot stand toe-to-toe with the African American. The Hispanic Mexican will tell you he cannot stand toe-to-toe, because the Mexican American, the Native American, never had the Constitution say they were three-fifths human. The Native American and the Mexican or the Hispanic that they're calling never can stand side by side to the black man today, because the Constitution never said they were three-fifths human. A person coming over from the islands, a person coming over with a visa and a passport is not the same as coming over in chains. Coming over with a visa and a passport is not the same as coming over in chains. So no, we are the only non-immigrants in the United States. We are the only non-immigrants in the United States. The Mexican, Hispanic, the Native American, none of them can say they can stand up to us, because the Constitution, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment was just for us, because they were not there. The Indians were not considered human beings. Well, they were not considered human beings, so they, what they did is they joined with the European, they joined with the KKK, they joined with White Citizen Council, and in exchange, they became civilized. They became the five civilized tribes. So what they did is they sold out their own people. They sold out us, and they were slave traders. Yes, my Native Americans, the Cherokees, you want to talk about, then they were, Cherokees were slave traders, slave hunters. They also had slaves. So they became civilized by acting like whites, enslaving blacks, enslaving the African. So that's how they got their rights and got their land. It was only because of John Horse and Wildcat, who were part of the African mix with the Florida Indian that became called Seminole, that they fought and was forced all the way to Oklahoma to be at those reservations so they could take the land of Florida and Louisiana, there's other states going across. So we have to realize that. So the whole definition that people are trying to play on and want to get sympathy are for people who did not a damn thing and was actually guilty of discriminating against us, guilty of persecuting us, guilty of abandoning us. The other thing that you have to look at when you're talking about in this whole era is that the black woman who is the strength and the secret to the African race, gave up on the African race, betrayed the African race, because they were tricked into the woman's movement. And so they betrayed King. They left the civil rights movement of King and went to the woman's rights movement, which had not a damn thing to do with the black family, because the black woman was working two or three jobs and white women were trying to get a job. The black woman was working two or three jobs, and the white woman was trying to get a job. So black women, thinking they were intellectuals, intellectual fools, like Curtis Mayfield said, and left the civil rights, human rights movement with Dr. King and Malcolm X and joined the women's rights movement, which didn't do a damn thing for the black family, but helped to destroy the black family. And what they did is that they made the woman, white woman, a minority, so black women try to join up with white women and be a double minority and against the black family. And what they did is that these white Southerners created single housing, single family housing, where a black woman, if she wanted to live in a good house, and if a black man wanted his kids in a good house, he could not be in that house. He had to be in a halfway house while his family lived in these single family homes. That was an attempt to destroy the black family, and we didn't fight against that. The other thing that wind up happening is from this, that the woman, now the men used to have seasonal work, and the woman always had work, because she would be a maid, she would be a cook, she would be a cleaner, she would be a child care person, she would do these things. The men had to get it when they would get it. One of the highest prestige jobs was shining shoes at a building, where at a white business building. So our jobs are very scarce and hard. So the thing that the black women knew at that time, that any time, and Dr. Joanne Anderson, wife of Dr. Claude Anderson, would point out that up until that time, the black woman valued her husband because she knew that he can leave her house and be driving while black. He could leave her house, be riding a bike while black. He could leave her house walking while black. He could leave her house just living black and may not make it home like we see some fathers today. And so the black woman treasured and feared for her black man. But after the woman's right movement, the black woman was taught not to give a damn about her man. And so we don't. And so we had a fall of the black family. And Patrick Moynihan in the study showed in 1958 showed that 75% of all the households in the Negro family and the black family were husband and wife. All the families in 1950 going up to 58, 75%, all of them was husband and wife. We was a married population. We was a married community. We was a married family. And then after the 70s, after the women's right movement, then we're now dropped down to 50% like the whites. So in 58, only half of the white families were husband and wife. In 1958, only half of the families, and they're still like that today. But now we joined them, and now that our women have been tricked not to be the queens, not to be the unifiers, not to be the backbone and the structure that holds a black family unit together. That woman, she has been tricked not to do that, and now what we have is destruction of the black family. We have destruction of our young children. We have destruction of our young men. So we went from having a black family unit where we had the queen and the king, the queen mother, big mama, and that husband, papa, to now that you just have this woman by herself, now with the boys in jail and prison, and now the women going to prison, and that instead of having a strong identity of self, they're trying to find self through music, media, and et cetera. And then we have, now we've glorified the Uncle Toms, not the Uncle Toms, we glorified the Sambos who killed the Uncle Tom. We glorified the house Negro who killed the Uncle Tom. We glorified the house Negro who was in the house, who was going against the field Negro. We wind up moving them in the 70s in that position, thinking that they would do like Thurgood Marshall and take the cause up to a higher level, but they took us back to the plantation because those people that we put in charge were your Clarence Thomases of today. So that's what we did. So we chose not the grassroots which you come from, but we chose these blacks who have been indoctrinated with whiteness because we know in our community that most black people in our community want to be white people. We know that most black people in our community want to be white people, and we know that white people love black people who don't like black people. We know that white people love black people who don't love black people. And so that's who you go to choose. So anytime, Malcolm has told us, anytime that they're praising a black and loving a black, that's because that black person don't like black persons. And so as a result, they can express themselves through that black person. And so that's why you're going to see, when you look and look up Al Sharpton, where you'll see that he worked for the FBI. When you look up and see Jesse Jackson working for the FBI, when you see at first the FBI was a Federal Bureau of Investigation under Hoover, and then it becomes Find Blacks and Incarcerate, Find Blacks and Incarcerate, Find Blacks. And then George Bush turned it, and Clinton turned it to faith-based initiative, so the church and the pastors became the FBI agents in the black community. And so as a result, our community is not really a community, but neighborhoods. They destroyed the house Negro, the educated black, who was not pro-black. He was wind up destroying our neighborhoods because they made our communities a place to go sleep, a place to go lay down and eat. A community means that you do not have to leave your area to find a job. It means that you don't have to leave your area to find housing that your people own. It means you don't have to leave your area to go to a supermarket to get the food you need because your people own it. That's a community. You don't have to go anywhere else for the laundromat. That's your, it's right there. Everything, your post office, your school, your education, through segregation, had us forced to be communities. Now we have neighborhoods. If your neighborhood is not ran by the blacks that live there. If they don't, they can't go and find jobs in their own neighborhood, it's a neighborhood and not a community. If they can't have housing that's owned by blacks, then that's going to be a neighborhood and not a community. When you have a community, it's owned by that ethnic group. The Jewish community have their Jew town. The Mexicans have Mexican town. The Chinese have Little China. The Japanese have Little Tokyo. The Polish have Pole Town. They have German town for Germans. Every group, but there's no African town, there's no African city, no African community, because we have been tricked to follow those who don't know where they're going, because their self-esteem is so low, they can, their self-esteem is so low is that they cannot say these words. They can't say that they're unapologetically black. They cannot say they're unapologetically black. They cannot say they're unapologetically black. They cannot say they're unapologetically African. They cannot say they're unapologetically African. They cannot say they're unapologetically African. And they cannot, and they cannot, and they cannot say they're unshamefully pro-black. They cannot say they're unshamefully pro-black. They cannot say they're unshamefully pro-black. Every Arab is pro-Arab. Every Chaldean is pro-Chaldean. Every Pakistani is pro-Pakistani. Every Chinese is pro-Chinese. Every Japanese is pro-Chinese. Every French is pro-French. Every German is pro-German. But when you come to us in Benton Harbor, in Detroit, in Harlem, in New Jersey, down south Georgia, we're pro-everybody else. And how you know that a nigger has mental illness is when they're saying everybody or people of color, that means that they have mental illness, that they have a distortion of reality, that they are severely broken down as individuals with no self-esteem, no identity, and therefore they're lost. And so when politicians say that, then you might as well choose a white politician, and that way you can know that what his practices are just going to be what you expect them to be. And that's why you haven't seen any real progress in the United States since the 1960s, when we went from 103 black politicians throughout the whole United States to now in 2022 when we have greater than 9,000. And you have black politicians endorsing lying white politicians. I mean, in Benton Harbor, we have a young man, Andrews, who promised that we worked for him and tried to help him get in and be a state rep, that he was going to teach the kids how to do solar panels, make solar panels, something simple to do. He did not do it. He reneged on it. Joey Andrews lied to the city of Benton Harbor, but then you're going to have black people try to do it. And in our city of Benton Harbor, what they do is the state representatives every 2 years, during the presidential year where straight Republicans vote and it's hard to get in that year, they run black candidates. And when it's the off year, when there's a good chance you can have a chance to get in, they run white candidates. And that's the underlying cause of systemic racism, which is subconscious. But systemic racism in the black person means low self-esteem, will trick them to eat raw meat and call it medium rare.
Doctor, I tell you, we really enjoyed you today, but as you know, time has just ran out, and we got to keep moving. But don't forget, Friday, July 1st, Friday, you can start voting for the Sambo of the Year. The candidates are Mayor Marcus Singer, Judge Mayfield, Chief of Police Dan McGinnis, Commissioner Ron Singleton, the mother and son combination, My Letter Seats, and Dwayne Seats. Get your vote in, but do not vote before July 1st. And we're going to have a running count. We're going to keep it moving, and we're going to make sure that we do what needs to be done. And don't forget about the big dinner in December. So on that note, guys, good night, good evening, and have a